Councillors, the witching hour is upon us. It's 6 o'clock, as my watch tells me. So good evening and welcome to tonight's meeting. I would like to acknowledge the country. So we wish to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land of which we meet today and pay our respects to elders past, present and future. We have no visitors this evening. Attendance and apologies. We have Councillor Michelle Sutherland is an apology and deputised by Councillor Johnson. I think Councillor McWilliam is caught up in traffic, maybe on the way. You haven't heard from her? Well, I'm sure that might be a case of her turning up. So disclosures of interest, we're going to 3.1. So we have Marcus, our Chief Executive Officer, and Angela Gearing at the back. Both have put in conflicts of interest and been signed off in relation to the items 20.2, 20.3, respectively. Has anyone else got any conflict of interest? No. Announcements by the Chair. There is none from me other than welcome again. You may recall at the last meeting that Councillor O'Connor resigned as the position of the Deputy Chair or Vice Chair, and I would now go into on your run sheet to page 5. At the moment I haven't received any nominations for the position, so are there any nominations for the position of Deputy Chair?
Mr Chair, I'd like to nominate Councillor Jeans.
Thank you. Have I got a seconder to that? Councillor Zanino. Is there anyone else wishing to nominate? No? Then I'll put it to the vote. All those in favour? Are you voting?
Yes.
I didn't see your hand. Okay. Are you going to?
Yeah, is
this is it, yes. Yes, no. Well, there's no one against. So I said, I'm asking all those in favour.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Am I missing something here? Oh, so you're against. Oh, I didn't see you. Okay, I've gone for all those in favour. Right. And I was, is anyone against? So we've got all that one against. So I declare that carried. And if Councillor Jeans, if you'd like to vacate your seat and come and sit next to me, please. And Councillor O'Connor is going to vacate this seat and sit between you two guys. Thank you. I'll get that when he's over here.
Thank you.
Thank you. I've got to get him into position yet.
Mr. Chairman, sorry. I've got to get the Councillor Chins to swear. It's warning. He's got to sign.
Okay. Who are you doing that?
I did.
We'll get you to do the declaration, if you don't mind. Oh, yes, Councillor, and then we'll all say congratulations and well done and thank you.
Oh, okay.
I, Douglas Alan Jeans of have been elected to the office of Deputy Chairman of the Eastern Metropolitan Regional Council, declare that I take the office upon myself and will duly, faithfully, honestly and with integrity fulfil the duties of the office for the people in the district according to the best of my judgment and ability, and will observe the local government rules of conduct, regulations 2007.
Well done. Congratulations. So, on behalf of all of us, well done. Thank you. Thank you for your commitment.
I was going to say if we could thank your comment for
having
that role.
I'm very happy to say that. I think last week on the agenda forum, I did make comment of thank you very much indeed to... I'm repeating myself then, Councillor O'Connor. Thank you very much indeed for your contribution assisting me as the Vice Chair for that period of time. Thank you very much indeed. And I think all of us share the same sentiment. Thank you. All right, so let's move on then to six, which is a response to previous questions taken notes, so there are none. Seven, public question time. We don't have any public to ask any questions. Applications for a leave of absence. Anybody going anywhere anytime soon? No? Petitions, deputations and presentations, there are nil. No parachutes, Mr. CEO, tonight? Okay. Confirmation of the minutes, number 10, 10.1, confirmation of the minutes of the meeting held on the 24th of November. I'd like to have a mover and a seconder, please. The Councillor Zeno, it always worries me we don't get someone to do that. Councillor Zeno moved, seconded by yourself, Councillor Dorr. Thank you. Anyone opposed? Declare that one carried then, thank you. 10.2, minutes of the special meeting held on the 19th of December 22. Mover and a seconder, please. Thank you. Councillor Johnson, seconded by Councillor Hamilton. Is there anyone opposed? Declare that carried. Thank you. 11, questions by members for which due notice has been given. There is none.
None.
Questions by members without notice. Are there any questions by councillors on specific that are not specific to the reports of employees?
Yes.
Not to the reports of employees.
It's from the information bulletin.
Question?
So on page 5, it talks...
Oh, sorry, but no, you need to withdraw it. Sorry. On the information bulletin, we'll need to withdraw it.
Okay.
So we'll get to that part.
Okay.
All right. So it is specific to not on any of the reports. No? Announcements for confidential matters, which the meeting may be closed. So we do have a number of items which are in the confidential section, and they will come up later on in the meeting. And then I will be calling for to go behind closed doors if required. So reports of employees. So in your agenda, you have 15.1 through to 15.9. I'm going to deal with these on an on-block basis unless they are withdrawn. So I'm looking for those who are wishing to withdraw an item. Councillor Johnson, you can tell me the item numbers.
15.5 and 15.4, please.
15.4?
Yep. So 15.4, 15.5 and 15.8.
15.4, 15.5?
Yes.
And 15.8. Is there any other items?
15.8, did you get that?
That one.
Oh, thank you.
15.9.
All right, so then that is the case. 15.1, 15.2, 15.3, 15.5, 15.6, 15.7. I like all those are moved on block, so I want someone to move them on block. So, Councillor Thomas. Oh, I beg your pardon. I wrote it in the wrong line. Thank you. So I'll just go back and repeat them again. So it's 15.1, 15.2, 15.3, 15.6, 15.7. Right. So moved by Councillor Thomas, seconded by Councillor Connor. Is there anyone against? We'll declare those carried. All right. So we'll go through those items now. So 15.4, Councillor Johnson.
Thank you. I wonder if I can propose at this point some amendments to some of the policies, please.
What we'll need to
do... 15.4, my apologies. Is that... Sorry.
15.4.
I can't find my own notes. Okay, I have a question. On... sorry, I've just written comments against the paragraph numbers.
I'm just going to remind everyone, we need to have the item moved, seconded, then we go to questions.
Oh, okay. Happy to move it.
All right. So you're happy to move the item?
Yes.
Seconder. Thank you very much. Councillor Ostaszewski is seconded. Question.
Thank you. With relation to note, so just going the note on the paragraph number, so paragraph number 12, so I haven't got a page number, my bad. It says the salaries are 13% below budget for the year to date, and this commentary that we're not unfamiliar with about difficulties of getting staff. I'm just wondering what our staff turnover is at the moment, and happy to take that on notice.
Our staff turnover is over 25%, but this doesn't so much relate to turnover. It more relates to staff positions that haven't been filled but budgeted for, and it's a result of not moving to the East Rockingham Waste to Energy, because we actually had budgeted to lose all that volume, and we were going to employ truck drivers and loader operators and weighbridge operators, and we didn't have to do that because we kept the volume at the landfill. So that has a big impact on this number. But churn is very high at over 25%.
Thank you.
Answer your question?
Yes, it does. Thank you. I have another question on those
the
items.
Same item?
Yes, a couple more. Thank you. So paragraph 19 talks about Lehman Brothers, but that's another comment, so I'll ask that later on in the confidential if I might, please. 23, CapEx is way down. I'm wondering if I can get some commentary on that, please.
To see
Thank you. Yeah, this is all about timing of projects that were budgeted for. We still think the CapEx budget for this year is actually going to be dealt with at the next at the audit committee meeting and at the next month OCM. Our budget this year is $18 million. We think we're still going to come in at $14 million, but project just has been pushed back. We've got obviously an issue with the transfer station, so that's not finished, so not all payments have been made. We managed not to buy any plant, or we don't need to buy plant for the waste transfer station, because that the East Rockingham contract has been delayed, so that has been pushed back. We've delayed some vehicles. We are not refurbishing the Ascot place, which we had budgeted for over $300,000, and that is the biggest impact. So they're actually all listed in that 23.
Thank you. And I had a follow-up question as well. It probably relates to what you just touched on. There's some commentary in there on paragraph 24 about the year-end forecast. I'm just wondering when the mid-year review is being done.
Yes, the mid-year review has been finalised by the officers, and it's going to go to the audit committee first week, or the 2nd of March, actually, next week.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so those questions have been answered. I've got a move and a seconder. I'm now looking at putting to the vote. All those in favour? It is unanimous. So the next question is on 15.5.
Thank you. I wonder if I could propose some amendments.
I need a mover and a seconder for the item, then we can take the amendment.
Sorry, I'm not sure procedurally. So I'm happy to move it with amendments. Is that okay?
You can move the item, then I'll take an amendment. But I'm not sure that if you move the item that you can make the amendment.
Yeah. Stop
doing that right now. Yes, so you're not going to move the item. Now look at me all puzzled. So we've got Councillor O'Connor. You haven't moved the item? Yeah. Move the item and the seconder. Councillor Dorr. Okay, so that item now moved and seconded. I'll have an opening discussion, please. Councillor Jeans. And then we'll take the amendments.
Look, I suppose the policies that are in the microphone, please.
The policies that have been listed, I have read through them. There has been quite a few changes in there, but I suppose it just brings it up to what we'd call removing a lot of the excess wording in the documents, I'd suggest, but without any major changes. So these are just normal process that happens within local government.
Thank you. Second up?
Nothing to add.
Nothing to add? Okay, thank you. So now you want to look at moving an amendment?
Yes, please, and thank you for the opportunity.
And your amendments are?
So can I just preface the nature of the amendments by just saying I think they refer to some of the gifts kind of feel like they belong to another era and wouldn't really stand the pub test. So my proposals, amendments are, and I'm not sure how to word that, my apologies. So under 1.9, Council Policy 1.9, Recognition of Members of Council, my page number is page 1, but I'm not sure that it is. So under policy statement, when it says the following awards should be made to recognise such service and there's various categories of awards, I'm just wondering if we can delete the bit about a gift to the value of $100 or $200 or $500, please.
One moment, please. Second. We already amended it.
No, this was for the employees.
Oh, for the employees.
This is for the council.
Okay, sorry. Can you just repeat those amendments for me again? You want to amend?
So I'm just wondering if there's an easy way of doing it and not just reading through it. So my intent is that we'd have a certificate of appreciation and any other formalities as proposed. Maybe the gift of the name tag is what we do at Bayswater, but delete the monetary value of the gifts, so no gifts.
So you're talking no gifts in relation to the two-year term?
Any of them.
Any of them. Okay. Is there a seconder for that? Councillor Zeski. Is there anyone against that amendment?
Can I just ask procedurally, is that amendment so far removed from the actual policy that it becomes an alternative motion?
Mr. CEO, through to you, Chair.
Through the Chair. Basically, the discussion so far is about the review itself. The recommendation is still consistent with that amendment, so she's requesting the Councillor Johnson is requesting an amendment to the policy itself, so that's part of the review, and that stands in terms of policy. That's not as far removed. It's due the same.
So, is there anyone opposed?
So, follow-up question. Procedurally, is it that the mover is asked, do they accept that amendment? Is that correct?
Yes. Well, unless anyone against.
Look, I'm happy to remove the amount and leave the frame certificate of appreciation. Is that what you're suggesting?
Yes.
Okay, so that's accepted now by the mover and the seconder. So is it yes?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So. With that change, is there anyone against? You're against? Okay. You need to give me your argument.
Oh, thank you for the opportunity. Thank you, councillors. This is talking about payments for councillors when they finish up. Here's a serving sitting around the table for the EMRC. I don't think it's something any of us do for gifts when we leave. I just think it doesn't really meet community standards. We are remunerated for our attendance and our work here, and I think that's sufficient.
Okay. Second up. That's it? Nothing to add. Okay. Those against?
Just briefly, I just think... Now, I understand that the premise is, yes, we are paid meeting fees and the like, and so then why would you need to add on this parting gift? Historically, the EMRC has spent a very large amount of money making elected members comfortable at fancy dinners and the like at really, really expensive venues and giving gifts each Christmas of a fairly high value, and over recent years-ish, we've paired that right back to the point where we don't have those things, and the amount of money we've saved the MRC and ultimately the member councils is huge. Some may argue the benefits of having stakeholder events, for example, are just reasons for having them, but subsequent councils have agreed that that wasn't the case, and so that money has been paid back. However, in this instance, I don't think a relatively small token of appreciation is in any way over the top, considering what has gone before. Obviously, you can say, well, any gift, the certificate even, is too much. I mean, why do you need a certificate? At the MRC, we don't get together for fellowship or other events like we used to, and this token of appreciation or recognition is a fairly small in my view, but yeah, I'll leave it at that.
Okay, is anyone for the motion? Anyone against the motion? I'll hand over my chair's role to the deputy chair and I'll speak to the item. Councillors, we're talking here of, in reality, a very small amount of money. And if you read the item, it says on completing two-year terms. Two-year terms. For those in the room, it's unlikely that we would get to a position of two-year terms, given the process that we need to go through. And as you'll be all well aware, that you've got to be re-elected, you've got to be re-elected to the MRC, and then we start talking about on completion of 3 two-year terms, that's 6 continuous years, or the third part is on completing 4 two-year terms, which is going to give us 8 years. I think it's highly unlikely in this room that anyone would achieve those, and if you did, well done to you all. And if you're in a position to do all those number of terms, I can't see where the amount of money that we're making reference to here is going to be a blight on our ratepayers, because for all intents and purposes, we don't have ratepayers. We are members of a council and we don't have ratepayers. We have ratepayers that are delivering commentary and expect stuff out of the council, but not this council. So I'm in support of retaining what we've got, and I have to say, in my time here at the MRC, I don't know I've ever seen anyone in receipt of a gift. So I can't see where the problem is. So I'll leave it at that.
And the chair back to.
Thank you very much indeed. So is there anyone against the motion? For the motion?
After listening to the two speakers, I almost want to make it more.
It's almost like a badge of honour. However, all right, so if that is the case, we'll put the amendment to the vote. All those in favour of the amendment? 1, 2, 3. So the amendment is lost, and I go back to the officer's recommendation, and we had a mover and a seconder. Is there anyone against?
Sorry, my apologies. Could you repeat that?
Your amendment lost. We are back to the officer's policy recommendation. So can I now ask for anyone against?
Can I ask a question on one of the other items, please?
In the same document?
Yes, please.
Yep.
Council policy 4.3, gratuity payments to terminating employees. I'm wondering I'm going into personal details. I'm wondering how often these payments are made, or what's the scope of these payments in real life?
Mr. CEO.
I'm just going through the... which policy was that?
4.3.
Yeah, 4.3, gratuity payments to terminating employees.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. This is last year.
Are you on diligent?
Yeah.
Can we point to a page?
Sorry, I'm struggling to see the page. Oh, 143, I think.
Uh, 143, gratuity payments to terminating employees.
We were anticipating this question, so we've done our homework. Nil payments have been made in the last 5 years to any terminating employees. It's just one paid redundancy, but that's obviously not covered in these.
So do we need this policy?
ask the CEO. Mm. Mr. CEO, do we need this policy?
No. It's,
can I propose that we, I don't know the wording.
Oh, sorry, excuse me.
Delete.
True to chat, there may be situations where we do require it, and obviously it's exception to the exceptional circumstances. We do would prefer to have that situation where there might be a settlement in terms of some extraordinary event in terms of legal as well. So we do want that in place.
Okay, so note then, I have a follow-up question. Thank you for that context. Financial considerations, it says it's unbudgeted and to be referred to council for funding. So that means if this were to come up, it would come back to council for a decision?
We usually do have sufficient funds in terms of our salary expenditure, but if it's an extraordinary, very large one, definitely will be coming back.
Councillor?
Thank you, Chair. I wonder if we can amend it to include that these decisions, if we're not going to delete the policy, do come back to council.
Well, I think it there is in the policy statement 3, the Chief Executive Officer will consideration of whether gratuity payments should be made to an employee and the matter be referred to the Chairman and Deputy Chairman as well.
Could it then be reported back to council at the next meeting?
So as in an item to come back and say, this has been paid? Is that what you're making reference to?
Yes.
The requirements, Mr. CEO, Chair, that we...
That's fine.
You can do that?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Do we have to write it in the policy?
No. Well, if you want to, but we can easily report that back.
Okay. So are you happy with that explanation?
I'd probably prefer an amendment, Mr. Chair.
So you're looking at an amendment to say
yes,
any amount that's provided under this gratuity payment is to be reported back to council?
Yes.
For the amount?
Yes.
Just a question. Would that be done under delegated authority? And could it be under the report of delegated authority?
I have no commentary on where or how it's reported back.
Sorry, if I may.
If I can, just hang on. We've got too many people talking. It's important to understand if you're asking that any payments made under Section 4.3, that it comes back to as a council report. So if you're suggesting that it comes back as a separate item report or it's included in an expenditure payment through the expenses provision within our financial data?
Either as a separate report or under the delegations, decisions made under delegation.
Okay. Well, I think your answer then is if you allow that under delegated, it doesn't need to go into policy, it would automatically happen. One moment, Councillor Chair.
Just for clarification, I'll be able to.
I can't hear you.
I can probably respond to that, actually probably addresses your concerns here, what Councillor Johnson's been asking. If you look at the policy statement number 7, it clearly states that in the event the gratuity payment has been made, that council will give local public notice. So we will have to request for approval from council to give public notice anyway.
Okay, so 7 covers it. All
right. Yeah, thank you.
Got a question or you clarifying. Been answered?
Mr. Chairman, under the policy statement, I think that both 3 and 7, if you have a look at 3, the Chief Executive Officer will give consideration to whether that a gratuity payment should be made to an employee and the matter will be referred to the Council for consideration.
It's been removed and it's now changed to Chairman and Deputy Chairman. I don't know what document you're looking at. It's been amended. So I'm broad on okay. Your diligence. It's been amended.
Okay.
All right, so we're happy now where we are?
Satisfied, thank you.
Well, 7 deals with it. 7 deals with your question. Are any other questions on 15.5?
Yeah, just one more, sorry. Oh, my apologies. Council Policy 4.4, Employee Service Recognition. That's page 145.
Yep. Question?
My question is, it's really about the tiers, because I think, you know, with such a high staff turnover, we're lucky to have anyone stay 5 years. What proportion of our staff would have been here more than 5 years, roughly?
Mr. CEO?
Yeah, we have some very loyal, long-serving, and we just had one 20 years, David Schmidt. So we have these occasions occur. The churn is more of the new starters who find other opportunities, who move on. I don't have the numbers, but we can get them to you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Is that it?
No.
Councillor?
Thank you. Just going back to the Council Policy 4.3, the gratuity payments to terminating employees, in regards to it previously being council, now it's being changed to chairman, deputy chairman. And then down at the financial considerations at the bottom of page 143, it says there that this is unbudgeted and to be referred to council for funding. So I'm just a little bit confused between policy statement 3, where it's going to go to the chairman and deputy chairman, but it isn't actually funded by council, but the chairman and deputy chairman are going to make the decision, but you need council to fund it. So it doesn't make sense, the financial implications there versus policy statement number 3.
Yeah, I agree. And that should have been amended down the bottom from unbudgeted to refer to council for funding. It should have been that our budget actually includes a provision for this.
So does that policy, the financial considerations, does that need to be altered there as well then, so that it's consistent with statement number 3?
Through the chair, I think we should put a provision in the budget in the event it actually occurs. So then it's budgeted, but still refer to the chairman and the deputy chairman for approval.
Mr. CEO, I'm almost convinced there is sufficient money in our muni funds to cover any of these things, rather than going to this provision of putting amounts in there. We're not talking sheep stations here. We're talking very small amounts. So I think with the indulgence of the council, it'd be prudent to push the policy through, given that we've already said that number 7 is going to be notified if there is a payment, and the muni funds that we have, there should be something in a delegated area on the budget provision for that. Any other questions? Okay, so we'll come back to the officer's recommendation. We have a mover and a second. Is anyone against? Against? Okay, so all those in favour? Thank you. And Councillor Osterzyski is against. Do you wish to debate it? No? Okay, then I'll declare it carried. All right, then we'll move on to 15.8.
Right.
Yes, 15.8 is page 194. That's the heading. This is a provision of mattress collection and recycling services.
So just a question. I note we've got a report relating to this on our table.
Sorry, I need a mover.
Does this replace the one that's on the agenda in the diligent boards, or?
No, it's the same one.
Should be the same one.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. So I need some mover. The seconder for the item. So don't forget, if you can't amend it, if you're going to move it. So it's just a question. Councillor. Sorry, Councillor. Is it just a question?
Yes.
Okay, then I need a mover for the item. Councillor Thomas, seconder. Thank you. All right, so we have a mover and a seconder. Take a question.
Thank you. I'm just wondering what assurances will be included in the contract to ensure that we actually get what we paid for with this one. We heard at the presentation that it sounded like they were doing a great job, but over the term of the contract, you know, things change. Just wondering, you know, what controls we can put around the contract so that we get what we intended over the course of the contract in terms of, recycling outcomes.
Mr. CEO.
So I'll speak first and then maybe Brad. So there's obviously an audit system put in place, so we check where material has gone, and actually the residual waste of the material that can't be recycled comes to us, so we know what is not recycled, including the timber that comes to us for recycling. This is a revolution in the industry because there's only one provider currently in the market. We're creating a second provider. And ultimately, hopefully, we can actually move as an EMRC to do this in-house. But with the high churn, we decided to go to the market and accept this standard with some options. But so going back to the question, we'll go and do audits and we'll ensure and report back through our information bulletin on the recovery targets that we set in the contract.
Further question?
Yeah, just to follow up. So I don't know, you know, in a public forum, I don't obviously want details of that, but I'm just wondering if there's any way of, you know, amending or ceasing the contract if they're not meeting those recovery targets, if that gets in the too hard box.
Mr. CEO?
Yeah, I mean, then there's a dispute, obviously, and then there's a dispute resolution, which might end up with cancelling the contract.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so we have a mover and a second, Councillor Thomas and Councillor Ostaszewski. Is there anyone against? No, then I'll declare it carried. 15.9, which is on page 199. I need a mover and a second, and I'll take questions. Mover and a second on the item. Councillor Johnson moved. Councillor Connor seconded. Take the question, Councillor Dorr.
Just on page 5, it's got air pollution control residue disposal agreement. It's to seek, the council decision was about seeking public consultation about the residue disposal agreement and for the Chief Executive Officer and Chairman to execute the final air pollution control. So you're seeking public consultation. Has that public consultation gone out?
Oh, we're actually in the middle of the consultation process, and we had the first consultation session 2 weeks ago, and the next one is scheduled for the 13th of March, and hopefully more to come, because we just want to make sure that the community is fully informed on our plans.
Okay. Sorry, through the Chair, that will come up at that public meeting that you're having at Red Hill on, is it the 13th?
That's correct.
Okay. Yeah. So then I refer you to page 29 of the information bulletin where it says details of this delegated powers and discharge of duties has got approved the issuing of a request for tender 22010 APCR immobilisation plan. This is to build the plant. So this is something quite different from that agreement with the Waste to Energy Plan in Rockingham.
Yeah, so we have gone to market, as we reported to council, or we got approved from council to go to market. We haven't awarded the construction of the plant, but we've got a preferred tenderer. But we're just waiting for the outcome of, A, signing the contract with the generator of the waste stream, which is Waste to Energy Facilities, and B, the license. And the outcome of the public consultation.
I guess the question is, if you put the two together, you're still seeking public consultation on it, but you've already gone out to tender.
Correct.
So is that a normal way to go about things?
Yes, because we have to determine the cost for the client. So we have to know the cost of construction of the facility.
Happy with that?
Yep.
Okay, so we have a mover and a second. Anyone opposed? Against? No? All right, we'll declare that one carried as well. All right. Reports of committees, 16. There are nil. 17 reports of delegates from the Municipal Waste Advisory Council. And the minutes were included in the agenda. There's an invitation for Councillor Johnson, if you wish to speak to it.
It looks like for the minutes that it was a juicy meeting, but I was an apology at that meeting. I unfortunately had a conflicting appointment.
Well, then you can't talk to it then, can you? Okay.
Happy to move it.
All right. Happy to move it? This is noting, isn't it? It's noting, not required. Noting. All right, so we'll go to item 18. So there is a notice of motion from myself. I'll hand over the chair to my vice chair, and I will move into the notice of motion. So, councillors, my notice of motion is in accordance with 4.18 the MIC standing orders, and that is my intention to move that council adopt to amend the dates of the agenda briefing forums to be held at 6 p.m. on the third Thursday of each month for March to November, with the exception of October for the 2023 calendar year. Two, the information sessions scheduled for the second Thursday of each month for March to November, with the exception of October for the 2023 calendar year, be retained and held as required, commencing at 6 p.m. And three, notice be given in accordance with R.12 of the Local Government Administration Reg 1996.
So we have a motion. Is there a mover for the motion?
Well, on the move of the motion.
Yes. Is there someone to second that? Is there anyone against that motion? Okay, I see someone against. Would you like, is it a question or is it?
Yeah, I am against it. Did you want me to talk to that now?
Well, I've got to open the debate. Councillors, I provided a more than a six-section rationale for the reasons of why the change. And I'll go through those rationale for those who maybe did not have the opportunity to read it in its entirety. Council briefing forums provide the opportunity for councillors and deputy councillors to be equally informed and seek additional information on matters prior to its presentation to the next ordinary meeting of council for formal consideration and decision. Since its induction at the MRC, the benefits include in these forums the opportunity for council to discuss, inquire and request further information to gather better understanding of the draft report items to the agenda that will be tabled for council. The feedback and matters identified in the agenda briefing session continue to facilitate decision-making process. Subject to the additional information where required, the agenda will largely be the same as what's tabled as the final agenda papers for the ordinary meeting of council. However, the current meeting format of 2 weeks between the agenda forum and the ordinary meeting of council, in my opinion, is too lengthy. With the amount of responsibilities and competing priorities for each councillor, as not only at the MRC but also respective member councils, the extended period of time will cause the benefits of these forums to be diluted, in my opinion. Accordingly, it's proposed that the agenda briefing forum be held 1 week prior to the ordinary meeting of council, i.e. on the third Thursday of each month, and I fully understand it may draw conflict between WAUGA meetings. The purpose of the information centre is to present and discuss strategic matters, organisation issues, policy procedures, and any matters of interest arising by councillors, including suggestions for future employee reports to council. The current format of holding information sessions on the same day as the agenda briefing forum will conflate the governance process with a strategic planning process. So accordingly, it's proposed that this information session continues to be required on the second Thursday of each month. Now, I spoke with Marcus and Jura. Most councils have an agenda forum followed by the agenda meeting 1 week apart. For some unknown reason, this council has decided to take it 2 weeks apart. This council is the only council I'm aware of on an agenda forum and or an agenda that we add a separate item to these meetings, such as a briefing session. We have no idea how long a briefing session is going to take. We have no idea how long the agenda forum is going to take. And I suggested to the CEO we should cease with that practice and move to have briefing sessions as briefing sessions. The agenda forum as an agenda forum, not an agenda forum / briefing session. And then move to the agenda itself. So that's my rationale that sits behind this. And I'm sorry that there is a conflict of WAUGA. It wasn't my intention to cause an issue there, but I felt going forward that this would be a far better option and proposal for this EMRC. Finished.
Thank you, Chair. With respect, I can't argue
sorry,
with...
Sorry, excuse me. Sorry, the seconder needs to talk.
So, apologies.
Sorry. Yeah, through the Chair. Sorry, not through the Chair.
Thank you, councillors. I think Councillor Congerton has given a fairly comprehensive overview. I concur with his thoughts and what he's put forward, and I think it should be supported. I haven't really got anything further to add, so I just urge you to support the motion.
So would anybody like to speak for the motion? Against the motion? Councillor Johnson.
Thank you, Deputy Chair. With respect, the rationale is absolutely fantastic. Like, I have no question at all with the rationale. I think it's it makes sense. It's what, you know, many of us do at our own local councils. However, it's asking us to change our council meetings for this year. And as I know from experience, trying to change the Welga Zone meetings last year to accommodate the EMRC, it's a set of dominoes with all of our different councils and meeting schedules and change. For example, at Bayswater, the meetings for this year were set based on these meeting dates, which we provided to our governance team in December last year, whenever they were set, late November, I can't remember, but they were provided to our team and our meetings were set up to accommodate all of these meetings. And it's a great rationale, but I just can't see it working in this calendar year.
So are there any other speakers for? Against?
Yes, thank you, Acting Chair. I agree that Councillor Congerton's trying to achieve something here. I get what you're trying to achieve. I just think the system that we've got now, that I think it's a reform that the CEO brought in probably within the last year, actually works really well. I think it's very, very helpful to have that agenda briefing. 2 weeks for me is fine. It takes time for things to assimilate over time, so it's very good. I find that a good amount of time. So I believe it's fine to have them together at an agenda briefing forum and an information session because, it is an efficiency of time. Why have them on separate days? We're down for two Thursdays a month now, the second and the fourth. Why will we go for a potential third? Why will we drag staff in? Why will we drag councillors in for another meeting that we need, as we discussed earlier, a bit like a hole in the head? But I think it works all right now. I think that's fine. And as Councillor Johnson mentioned about the problems that we had with Walga, just trying to synchronise it with EMRC after some dates were changed over there. So I've just sorted that problem out. This is not as bad as it was, but it adds a couple of days that will conflict just this year alone, and it also conflicts with Mundaring's citizenship ceremonies, which are held on a Thursday as well. So it's the old adage, really, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Thank you.
Are there any other speakers for or against?
Question, please?
Yes.
Will the information sessions be every month or just when they're required? And if they're just when they're required, how often do you expect them to
refer that to CEO?
No, thank you, through the Chair. So they are as required, and there are more updates on projects. So I would think maybe twice a year, three times a year, looking at the projects that are in the pipeline.
Further question?
Follow-up question. So yes. You're saying they are unlikely to be every month?
That's correct.
Thank you.
So we have a motion. We have no foreshadowed motion, foreshadowed alternative motions.
Right of reply?
Yes. So we'll... Councillor... Sum up.
Are you against?
Oh, you want to speak?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Again, I echo the sentiments expressed that I understand the direction that Councillor Congerton wants to take with this. However, I do think in the middle of this, well, not quite in the middle of the year, but we are set with our dates, all of us, with various things, and we have entered these dates into our calendars as they are at the moment. I think this is the wrong time of year to be bringing this forward. That if this was going to come forward, it should come forward in October when we are planning our future year of dates. I just think that this, at this point in time, is the wrong time to bring this notice of motion forward. So I'm against it for that reason, because we've all scheduled various things around the process that now exists at the EMRC.
Okay, is there any other speakers for or against? Councillor.
Thank you. Thank you, councillors. Look, I accept that there are some reservations, particularly when it sits around the Wowga and some of the other commentary about what happens in your own local government. I set aside in my diary every Thursday for the MRC, and then I remove those out of the diary if a meeting is not required. So they are automatically in my diary, as is all of our briefing sessions for my own local authority and all of the other things that go on in my life. I see this as an exercise of where we can have a specific agenda forum and a specific agenda date, and not have an area where we're going to tag on a presentation and or a briefing, or a presentation and a briefing after an agenda forum. We're pretty fortunate some of our agendas are fairly light, but there are on occasions big agendas. Some of the budgetary sessions that we have for our agendas are quite long, so there could be a possibility of long days, long nights. So I think I've given you a perfectly good rationale of why we should be doing this, and I seek your support.
Okay, we have the motion. Those for the motion? Councillor Thomas, Zeno, Congerton, 1, 2, 3, and Jeans, 4. Those against? Councillor Johnson, this is going to be hard. Hamilton, O'Connor and Dorr against, and I see that is lost, 5-4. I now hand.
All right, so 19, there is a new business of an urgent nature approved by the chairman. There is nil. There are confidential items. There are a number of confidential items. We can deal with this by doing councillors. Number of items in the confidential matters, we can choose to move those on block and not go behind closed doors and deal with them individually, or should you wish to pull any of those items and we'll go behind closed doors and deal with them. So I'm asking a question. Is there anyone wish to move on block, not go behind closed doors and deal with all three items? Happy to move? Seconder? Seconder, Councillor Dorr. Is there anyone opposed?
I'd like to make a comment, if I can, please, before we go to a vote. It's just in regards to the report. On page 328 is where the report begins. And then when we go to page 329, the very first line on page
Sorry to interrupt, yeah. Mr. Chairman. If we are going into the details of the confidential report, we have to
behind closed doors.
So we're not going into any details of those reports. We're going into details of what's in the public agenda. Yes, I've just got some comments on what's on the public agenda, not any of the information behind closed doors, if that's all right.
We can accept that. Okay.
So just my comment is just on page 329. It does say there that the very first line, and I've just lost it. It says a recording of the resolutions passed behind closed doors, namely, and then lists those three items. I almost feel as though that statement there is preempting a decision of council, which is to go behind closed or not behind closed doors, and we haven't voted on that item yet, but just the wording there seems to say that it's an expectation that we are going to go behind closed doors. It just doesn't seem right. It feels as though it's preempting a decision of council, because it is generally what happens, but it may not. So I just feel as though that wording perhaps next time needs to be better worded there.
It is a common practice, councillor, that you can move en bloc all of the confidential items without having to go behind closed doors to deal with all the confidential items. So the commentary sitting and recording of the resolutions passed behind closed doors will simply be the recording of the resolutions were dealt with en bloc.
Sure.
Okay? Yep. All right, so we have a mover and a second. Is anyone opposed? No one opposed? Declare it carried. Anyone?
Correct.
Next meeting of council will be on the 23rd of March 2023 at this building. And on that note, declaration of closure of meeting at a couple of minutes to seven. Thank you very much indeed, everyone. Thank you.